You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Welcome to Bras, Bitches, and Balls. My name's Nick Rowley, and I'm co-hosting this. Today we have Deeka, Lisa, and we have our special guest, Karen Dibas, who will be talking about her new book, The Witch of Del Rey. And here's Lee.
Hello. So I'm playing with my screen, which I can't stand it when everybody does it, because I'm trying to make sure that I have the Facebook page up and running if anybody wants to talk to us live. They certainly can. But welcome to Bras, Bitches, and Balls. This has been a lot of fun, and I hope you guys are enjoying yourselves. We have some regular guests now coming on. So Lisa has been with us. This is her third or fourth one now, Lisa Burden.
Yeah. I don't know which. I think third.
I think it's third.
Yeah. And then Deeka, this is your second one coming on. Yeah. So thank you again for showing up.
It is. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a race at this point between Lisa and Deeka to see who gets the coveted five show crown or something.
Basically.
Yeah.
Oh my God, y'all are funny. So we want to start off with the bra of the week, because Busted Bra Shop is the sponsor, and I own that. So yeah, self-serving, right? So give me a second. I'm going to pull something up. I did not bring Betty. I did not bring the mannequin this week.
I'm so sad. Aww.
I would say that it was because of something clever, but it was because I was exhausted last night and forgot to put her in the car. But I have a bra at home that I've never worn, because it's my I love you so much I don't want to see you start wearing out bra. It is beautiful. It is a bra I hold so dear that when it needs to be one huge event for me to be able to wear it. Okay, so give me a second.
So are you wearing it Friday night?
Oh, God, I left it. Oh, no, it's right here by my phone. Am I wearing it Friday night?
Oh, don't scare me.
I don't know if I can. She's by Marley Steckers. Marley Steckers is my haute couture line. And I wear it as an everyday bra, but this one is not an everyday bra. Mm. This one is pleather. This is bringing out my old punky kind of rock and roll roots. Okay, do you see this, baby?
Oh my God. I'm coveting this.
Isn't that gorgeous? Okay, so it's got the pleather look. It's got the pleather look. And it's got the stitching in there. The detail's really fine. It's got the binding around the upper cup. Look at the hardware on this thing.
God. I'm feeling like Tim Curry would really love wearing that bra.
I need that right now.
We can
look at the inside.
This is like a $250 bra.
It does not matter.
Exactly. It's like those shoes that you're like, I paid $700 for, which I've never done.
Yes, and they never touch the floor.
Yeah. No. I have a boot wear thing, the not a foot thing. So then it's got the suspender look in the back.
We all have a boob thing.
I've got the suspenders in the back with the hardware. Am I doing this, Jess? Yeah. Can you see it?
Oh,
but look at the inside of the cup. I know. Do you see why I'm like, I'm holding
that
this
is like
puppy.
The shoes.
Yeah.
It's so,
they're
so gorgeous.
Red boobies, not red bottom.
Yeah, except your nipples won't wear them out. So.
And well, it's got this wonderful gore right in the middle.
It depends on how abrasive your nipples are.
But you can see I love her.
Your love is justified.
Sometimes I put her on in my bedroom and I stand in front of the mirror and I'm just like, I love you.
Yes. She needs that sort of love and affection.
Are there similar
precious
panties?
Oh my
yes,
God.
There are similar panties. The panties will blow your freaking mind.
Oh my God.
I know. Okay, I'm going to put her away. But that's.
So it's like you just put them on and dance around your room and then you take it off. And you're
just
like, hey,
understand that I do have this thing, and it's just this bra thing. Would you like to touch it?
I actually would.
Please. Oh my God.
It's like nicer than anything I own.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's so beautiful.
It's Marley Steckers.
She wanted to come to you.
So there's a thing about the Marley Steckers line. If somebody sees something they want and it's made in the size and the cup that they want, I can order it. You have to pay me first.
Oh my God.
And it'll take them a while to manufacture it. Right. But it is a wonderful product. So what else did I bring today? I brought a couple things
There's
today.
More.
for accessories. There is more. Because I want people to know that there's fun things that they can do during this dress-up season. We're getting people think that bridal season is like summer. We get more brides coming in at this time of year than I do like in June and July. And they need very specific things. Brides just do. And so also when people are going to formal events, they need very specific things. So this is one of the things. Petal tops, because here in America, we're completely afraid of our nipples. This is something that's throwaway that you can put on. We have them in star shapes, and then we also have them in this petal shape. And I'm going to open it. I think I'm going to open it. Nick, will you open that?
I will.
Because I can't see. And then the other thing that we have in the store is just a little bit of fashion tape. And that can help with so many different things when you're dressing up formal. And at the very last minute, something goes wrong. It's double-sided. It's made for your skin and the material.
So if you have a dress that's maybe doing this, you can...
Yeah, exactly. And then if you keep it in your purse, one of your girlfriends is going to be like, oh, no, in the back. It's doing something weird. Can you help me? And just stick it on them. It's fine.
Back fat. Oh, yes. Keep my back fat secure.
That's not really a thing. We're
I was
not
just
even
saying that's what I would want to use it for.
So this is the petals. This is a disposable thing. Now, I also have something at the store called dimmers, and they're made out of silicone. And the dimmers will dim your headlights. It's a thicker piece in the middle with the silicone, and then it petals out to rose petal thin on the ends. And it comes in chocolate and vanilla. So that you wash them and use them over and over again. But this is something if you need it to real quick and blah. There you go. All right. Nice. So that's kind of fun. And
those need to be in vending machines.
Ding.
Ding.
Have little sewing sets.
That and slippers that you can wear when your heels and you're like, screw this, I'm putting some isotoners on and
if
throwing
these
in my purse.
If women ran the world like we should be, those would be in every... Major event center,
that,
like Kobo,
right? Some emery boards, like all that kind
agree.
Of stuff.
So we had an event not too long ago in the bra shop. It was a fit event by Panache, and the theme was to find your fit. And I would like to encourage everyone to, if it's not with our bra shop, go to a professional bra boutique, find your fit in certain companies, and then it will translate to other companies. And
does she have a name
to do it? Yes, mine.
Keep your damn hands off.
I just want the listeners to know about that bra. Like, even the stitching.
The stitching is amazing.
Even the strap.
The strap.
It's a textured strap. It's not just
a strap. No.
You should buy an outfit around that bra.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, they also make... teddies that are bras and I have one very similar to that construction that is pinstriped and I am toying with wearing that with a formal skirt to my event Friday night.
Do it.
I really might. It's a boxing event, so what's the
it's perfect.
Do it.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
because it's tough yet pretty.
It shows a lot of skin up here, so we'll have to
adjust
check with that. And all my tattoos are going to show, and that's fine.
That's okay.
Boxers will like that.
You've
been so popular.
Do like pin curls and then walk around with one of those little match, you know, cigarettes.
If you want me to do pin curls, I have to work up to the minute that the event starts. So I'm going to be getting ready at work. If you'd like to come and help me do that,
I don't know if I'm the right person for that, but I am so not a fashion girly person at all.
We'll see what happens. All right. So that was the bra of the week. Yay.
Bra of the week.
I love it. So we want to remind everybody what our friends here in the studio do. Lisa?
I do commercial real estate, nonprofit, and business transactions law. And if you have any questions about that, I just go by Lawyer Lisa.
Lawyer Lisa, because
call me Lawyer Lisa.
I just sent her another lease for another potential store to open up,
which means more bras.
Which means more bras and easier access, which is always the best thing when it comes to bras. Pun intended. and so there you go. She's helping me with that lease, and that's phenomenal. And then you helped a couple other business people that I know with leases. Lisa and Lisa's.
Lisa and Lisa's.
Lisa does Lisa's.
Lisa with Lisa's. Yeah.
That's a tongue twister. Mm-hmm. Yeah, stop it. Okay. Dika.
I am a musician, a festival organizer. Yeah, general badass, rock star, I guess, according to some people. And I also curate entertainment for events. So multifaceted, as most artists in Detroit are. You can find me at deekah.com, D-E-E-K-A-H.
Can we make an announcement about what we agreed to do on November 2nd?
Yes, let's do it.
So Rotary is having adult prom at Tangent Gallery. Mm-hmm. Tickets are only $50 a couple. And it's going towards a fundraiser for Freedom House.
Yes.
If you don't know what Freedom House is, look it up. And it's awesome. And Deke is going to be performing there.
I sure the hell am. Yes, I'm very excited.
I am too. I'm super excited.
I love Tangent Gallery. We just had the Cosmic Slop Music Festival there. Which is our multicultural celebration of rock music. Mm-hmm. And we kicked ass all day long at Tangent Gallery. And Joe and the team over there are amazing. If you're looking for a place to throw events, I have to throw a shameless plug in there to Tangent, because we got to support great venues like that in the city. And so, yes. Tangent Gallery. Love, love, love.
It's a wonderful space. There's a lot to be done there. I mean, the opportunity in that space is amazing to have a really damn good time. Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a question about the prom that we haven't talked about, though?
Yeah. Okay.
Will there be gossamer?
We can allow what?
Any gossamer? Will there be, you know, the gossamer curtains?
I don't know.
We can look into that, though. That's a fun.
Do you want gossamer?
That's what I think about when I think about prom for some reason.
Okay.
I think of taffeta.
A lot of taffeta.
And then that takes me to Young Frankenstein, and I go, taffeta, darling, taffeta.
Oh, my gosh.
The rain.
Okay, so I'll make a note. We'll do some sourcing on some gossamer then. Okay, so we'll see what we can find there.
Gossamer. All right, Kieran, your turn.
I am a Metro Detroit, I guess, journalist, freelance writer, author, and specializing in local history these days. So that is my forte. That's what I'm passionate about. So I've been writing a lot of these local history books.
And the one that always comes to mind is the Better Bay Potato Chips.
Yes. I always call it the potato chip book so that I can give love to all the many potato chip companies that used to be in Detroit, like New Era and Crunchy. Mm-hmm. And we had a brilliant amount of retailers and real estate and every aspect of Detroit you could find a potato chip company at.
And Better Made is the last small potato chip boutique type manufacturer in the country, right?
There's like a handful. There's Mike Sells out of Ohio and Utz Potato Chips out of Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Jay's used to be, but they got purchased by someone else. So yeah, we really is unusual and rare to have your potato chips made in your backyard. Mm. They're so crisp and delightful. I highly recommend going to the Gratiot Avenue store and checking that out.
Yeah, I love that store. It's just a fantastic thing to see driving along.
I just saw Better Made chocolate covered potato chips.
Yes. They used to be just a seasonal thing. Now they're doing it year round because they realize that they all need that. Yeah, they do. They want us to get fat. I gained like 10 pounds writing the book. Oh my I guarantee. God.
Like just add sweet and salty.
Yes.
Like
yes.
That's
why?
I'm in.
Yeah. Chocolate and crunch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of their accountants started doing that as a holiday gift, and Better Made's like, that is a good idea. Mm. And then they ran with it, thank goodness.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Better Made.
Thank you, Better Made. We love them. And yeah, your book is it's so easy to spot because it's yellow.
Yes, that's what I loved. Is that's the actual potato chip bag. They actually emailed it to me. Like, here you go. And I thought for just a second when it came in the email, I could make my own potato chip brand. I could use this. And then I remembered they're Sicilian and immediately discarded that idea.
Yeah, best not to.
No, they've been very generous at that point. And after that, it would be all games. So, yeah, it's the actual bag cover.
Awesome.
You know, maybe we should get some Better Made potato chips for the prom.
Definitely.
That seems like a good idea.
They have a Halloween special right now. It's a good deal.
Ooh. Oh.
That's true.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And then maybe we can go get the chocolate potato chips for when we need to drown our sorrows because our boyfriend left us for another girl. At the prom.
And we're back at prom. Yes, prom. Exactly. Yeah.
That's like, what are you looking at me for? I won't be at prom.
You remember that, Lisa. Punk. You remember that prom experience.
She's going to be out of town.
I'm going to be in Austin, Texas.
Oh, what are you doing?
It's going to be all hot and everything.
I have a partner down there in a doggy daycare company. So we are going, I am going down to meet with her and check, it's the second anniversary of the building opening, and she's expanded multiple times and now has a doggy pool.
And you have a pig there,
and
too, right?
And we have a farm sanctuary, apparently. So a pig, and more importantly for me, because I love goats, there's a goat.
Oh, my God.
And she just got back from Peru, where she went to help some stray dogs there. They have a street dog problem in Peru.
They do?
Oh, my God. Yeah, there's a woman there who has 67 street dogs that she's taking care of, and they're in dire need of medical assistance and eventually a facility. And she also went and visited an orphanage where the kids wanted to take their chicken to their rooms because they don't get to eat meat very often. So,
and that's not a live chicken. That's
cooked chicken. Yeah. We are donating some money to them so that they can bring some chickens in to raise for eggs and,
yes,
beautiful
food. But yeah, so she's got a big heart, and I'm very excited to be involved in that.
That's
so
awesome.
So business stuff.
Awesome. Awesome business stuff, it sounds like.
Well, I'd like to get pictures of the goat and the pig so that we can put it up and show some people what's happening down there. In Texas, with our friend Lisa.
Yeah, she also helped with the Houston. She brought some animals from Houston to keep for a while they were cleaning out from the flood.
She's a nice lady.
She's great.
She's bought bras for me.
She has. Yes. She loves bras.
She's come up to us and we have customers from all around the country. It gets crazy in there. Yeah. It's crazy. It's like boobs from Washington State come in, and from New York and Colorado.
There should be like a wall of fame.
Yeah.
If they'd allow for
just,
that.
Just a wall of bras.
Just a wall of boobs. Yeah.
Well, and we wall have some wonderful customers who are businessmen during the day and dress as ladies during the night. And they come up. I have a couple who come up from Colorado twice a year for their fittings. Yeah, we have people from all over the place. We have some great stories. But I have great happy stories. It's usually very uplifting stories. But
uplifting. Pun intended.
I'm enjoying this. But you have a story, and we've actually put the picture out on the Bras, Bitches, and Balls Facebook page right now just to get us started, that is spooky as shit. Mm. And it's based on true events.
Absolutely.
And so true crime is something that Lisa and I really get into. Dika, do you get into true crime at all?
I do.
Okay, you have to. You like heavy metal music. Yeah. You like something intense. You know, people can be assholes. And sometimes we like to dive deep into those psyches. Yeah. So Lisa and I listen to a podcast called My Favorite Murder.
Stay sexy, don't get murdered.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's good life advice.
It really is.
Pretty much.
It really
they have some great life advice. Also, stay out of the woods.
Yeah.
Nothing good happens there. Though I'm from the woods, so I don't really follow that one.
So so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring Lisa on, because you took your true crime and really investigated it. And I'm not going to say anything else because I think it's your turn.
Well, that's what made this such a brilliant project, was what inspired it. A friend went on one of the cemetery tours that's all around town. And I defy you to find a history or spooky Halloween tour that doesn't include Rose Varas. So he heard about it and said, they claim that she's a female serial killer. How can there be a serial killer in Detroit that no one knows about? Mm-hmm. So I quickly did the online research, and that's what you find is a few people have written posts about her on their blogs.
What's her name again?
Rose Varas.
Rose Varas.
And her son, Bill.
Yes.
He was also included.
They just look spooky.
Well, she was in her 50s when she was accused, and this was a hard life. I mean, again, 1931 Detroit. People are in dire straits, because not only is it the Great Depression, but it's Prohibition, so things are rough.
Yeah,
it's a manufacturing town.
And plus it's the 30s where a lot of women who were like 19 looked 35.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And she's a widow at this point as well. She's been running her own boarding house, mm-hmm. Getting up at 4 a.m., feeding these men before they go to work. And then she's raising three sons at the same time. So a lot of people will try to mess with me and point out that she looks so haggard and like, don't you go there.
No.
Because for the grace of God, she's keeping it together. She's one of the strongest women. And if she was a witch, if a witch existed, I would have encouraged her to use her powers to survive because this was not easy at all. So started looking into it and got lucky and hit the jackpot of being able to track down her legal documents. Luckily, the Archives of Michigan held on to Detroit Recorder's Court files because anything else on this case is all newspaper and conjecture. So I was able to read through her legal case as much as was there because when she got a second trial in 1945, she had an incredible female attorney who kicked ass, went through all of the documents
Absolutely.
From her initial trial and was able to kind of remedy or in my, you know, become victorious on behalf of this family that may have been wrongfully accused. But again, I leave that up to the reader to make that decision. Mm. Was she really a witch? Was she really guilty? I think we have some good evidence both ways, depending on how you look at it.
Mm. So from what I understand, people started dying in her boarding house.
Yeah. Again, 1931 is when she was accused. A gentleman was trying to repair a window on the second floor or second part of the little bungalow they lived in. Mm-hmm. And depending on who you believe, he was either pushed out of the window, beaten and dragged and thrown out of the window, or that he fell. And no one was responsible for it other than his clumsy self. So there's three different kind of storylines that are being portrayed. And the one that the prosecution goes with is that they beat this boarder in his basement bedroom, dragged him upstairs, took him up into the attic, and then threw him from the attic to the ground below. And that's where he sustained the injuries he dies of. So whether Rose did that is then the contention. And because it's 1931 and we need to be sexist, she clearly couldn't have done it by herself. So her 18-year-old son had to be involved. So he was included in the murder trial that occurred.
So motive is not an element that needs to be required, but I assume that the thought of the motive here is money.
Yes, they claimed and they found some insurance policies when they searched her house and that she was keeping track of the boarders that lived in her house kept life insurance usually because they were here either as single men
right.
or men from Hungary in many instances that came over to make a few dollars to send home to their families. So they would have these life insurance policies as burial policies. If I die in the United States, make sure I'm buried with some dignity.
Right.
And they're usually in their 40s to 60s. So this is, again, 1931. This is when they're going to die. They're not going to live to their 80s and 90s, especially working in some of these factories.
Sure.
And so she kept track of did they have money and then spent it when they did pass away. So they died of anything you can imagine from heart attacks, a few suicides. And those were always rumored to be Rose's doing.
Was she the beneficiary of the policies
in
then?
In some instances, she would be as the landlady. And since they didn't have any family here.
Right. So they were just like, you be the one to make sure I get buried.
Yeah.
So it's not quite like an H.H. Holmes where he like.
Right. Right.
Coerced people into making him the beneficiary.
Yes. And in the case of her husband, even.
Freaky.
Absolutely. One of the freakiest. I had nightmares about his murder.
He went to the University of Michigan. I'm just saying.
There's all sorts of. My friend Mickey Lyons has great blogs on this that she can kind of trace where he's been in Detroit.
H.H. Holmes?
He came through Detroit.
With those kids.
Yeah, with the kids that ended up in
Michigan.
Canada, right?
Yeah. Oh, right. He
was in Michigan
for
a while.
Look at me. I'm like all upset. My clothes together.
I blame Eric Larson for making us so scared of this guy, too, because his descriptions in the book Devil in the White City of the way he killed these poor women, it's outstanding. He's my goal. He's my life mentor.
That is a great book.
Yes.
I was not so interested in the chapters on the World's Fair, but...
See, the World's Fair is what I mainly know. Okay, let's get back to this witch. Sorry.
Anyway, so when her husband died in 27 with a friend of carbon monoxide poisoning was what the coroner found. But neighbors began to talk that perhaps she shut the garage door on him while he was out there repairing his car. And that's how they succumb. And then when she's burying these guys and she's getting these life insurance policies, monies, they are upset with her because in part, It's starting to be the Great Depression in Detroit. It kind of kicks in later, but Detroit always feels things first because our economy is so narrowly based.
Mm-hmm.
And they were noticing. Not only did they already dislike her and give her the term the witch, that she was the witch of that neighborhood, kind of the spooky character, but now she's coming into money. at a time when everybody's tight and are reaching out for any kind of assistance they can. There's no Social Security. There's no welfare. There's nothing very helpful.
There's no safety net.
Yeah.
No safety net for these people. So her seeming windfalls are what gains the attention of the neighbors. And in my interpretation of the story, I think they're jealousy.
Haters gonna hate.
Haters gonna hate hard on her too. And so when this particular crime happens in 1931, this boarder is said to be pushed out of the window to his death. They got her. They kind of gang up on her. They make sure the police are investigating it. It's like the third time they've been out there for a death.
Mm-hmm.
So they take it seriously. Yeah. And this is how she's held for murder.
And she actually got convicted of murder.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
How long did she serve? Wow.
She was in jail for 14, or prison for 14 years before she had a second trial.
That's and her son was 13 years. Not a time I want to be in prison
either. No. It's not a good time in prisons in Detroit.
It's a pretty bad time for incarceration. So.
She is certainly in a female prison, but at the same time, her son is at Jackson. It's not an easy place to serve time.
And he served the same
now,
time?
I mean, now, let alone the 30s.
He was in jail for 13 years before his second trial as well.
And then in the second trial, were they – I didn't get this far. Were they exonerated at that point?
Yes. Her son is tried first, and he is almost where when he walks in the courtroom, the judge is like, our bad, and dismisses it. He has a nolle pasquale, if I'm saying it correctly. It's basically the prosecutor says
– we're all looking at Lisa. You're the lawyer.
This is a term from back in the day.
I'm a lawyer girl. Tell us what the –
I don't know. They all look into it. The prosecutor at the time, the police that prosecuted the case or, you know, found the evidence in the case, and they're like, oops, we're sorry. You can go now. And they release him without even completing the trial.
Mm.
Wow.
It's that.
Yeah, that's not something that happens a lot.
No. They are shocked in a lot of ways, even in 1931, that his case gets as far as it does.
Mm.
And then because of her infamy, because Rose is the Witch of Del Rey, they do hold a complete second trial for her. They do not make it easy. They definitely want to keep her in prison because they believe she's genuinely a murderer.
Mm.
Or maybe even a serial killer if you, again, believe that she was the person that led to the deaths of these 10-plus men that lived in her household.
That is a lot. But if you look at the time period and how hard it was just for surviving, I can – looking back on it, we can say, that doesn't seem quite so freaky.
If you are,
it says a lot about circumstantial evidence and how that builds.
Depends on your point of view. If you see that,
I mean, it's not arsenic poisoning like we were talking about earlier.
It's not arsenic and Old Lace, which was a boarding house as well for senior citizens. That's a fascinating story too. In a way,
it's a great production.
Yes, but she did. She had access to dangerous things. She had motive. In theory, she could have done all these things, and we're all just being way too nice. So that's why I like that this story can be heard and interpreted so many different ways.
Yeah, I also like that it's very much like other witch trials in that it's just somebody in the neighborhood that people don't like. It's actually the individual who's accused is in some way vulnerable and to those accusations. And there's a lot of stress going on, which is usually what you also find in the earlier witch hunts is – the society had some sort of collapse or was under really great stress. So it's really interesting that rather than changing her from being a witch who does magic things through Satan, which is what they used to be, they still have that little element, but then they add it to a more modern accusation, which is she's a habitual murderer. So it's a fascinating from that.
At the time that this is happening, too, Detroit is kind of under siege. It's it's the 75% of all the alcohol in the United States is provided out of Detroit.
That's right.
So the criminal justice system is deluged.
Yes.
To the point where when they are trying some of the gangsters that are also around at the same time as the rum runners, the prosecutor at the time, a guy named Harry S. Toy, he actually faints at one point in court because he's just exhausted. He is trying to get these cases through as quickly as possible. So the two assistant prosecutors that actually follow up on the Rose's case are kind of sent in to go take care of this. Just get a conviction. Get this going. So you have a very tough, overworked legal system.
Yeah, it sounds like
some incredible
legal
judges
system is completely stressed out.
Yes, and you have names that are like part of our everyday lives now. So you've got the Jeffreys Judge Jeffries is her prelim exam judge. So these names that are larger than life all play into this book and have a part in her, trial and conviction.
So where is the book available now?
It is coming out officially Monday, October 30th, right in time for Halloween. Right.
I just think the timing is amazing.
Yeah, we wanted to have this be around two things. Was I knew there were some other books coming out that were talking about Rose, where they are convinced she actually is a witch, that she did use witchcraft in both the court case, and she hexed people to get what she wanted. So I wanted to get my book out first. So at least people had something to balance that against.
That is a fascinating take on it. Mm-hmm.
And then again, this Halloween, this is the time in Detroit when we are in love with all things scary and spooky, you know, Theater Bazaar and dressing up and haunted. So many haunted elements of the city. It's 300 plus years old. We have some scary shit.
Yeah,
so
Detroit is a fairly spooky city at the best of times.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And you know there's some ghosts running around. I mean, we got a governor buried in a park.
Yes.
We're a messed up city.
Yeah.
Hamtramck's got a guy buried in the middle of a park too, so it's not like it's just us.
That's true.
So where, if I want to go and get this, hold it up to the camera. There's a camera right over there, and there's a camera right over there. So,
camera
The Witch
one.
Of Del Rey. Where do we purchase said book on Monday?
Well, I'm always going to send you to local bookstores, so I have to check in
to
make
Source
sure.
Source going
to
have it?
Source, I hope. BookBeat likely will. Okay. Pages likely will. So I hope
Is
that
Pure
they
Detroit going to carry it?
Pure Detroit has carried my books in the past,
That's
so I'm
some
hoping
stuff.
That they will, because I know they're selling it. As we speak, you know, still talking to booksellers.
Yeah.
It'll, of course, be at Barnes & Noble and the Amazons and all that. You can go to the History Press, the publisher. There's a lot of independent online booksellers as well, so I always got to encourage that. You
Where
go to
are
one
you
of my events
be?
And
Where's your next
talk.
Event? Yeah.
So I will be November 2nd, I believe it is, at the Caroline
Prom
Kennedy
Prom night.
Library.
Prom night.
Yeah, sorry. Don't go to both. You can just, you know, go to a future one. But
what
I'm
time
sure
is that? You can they can come to yours and then come to prom.
Yeah. Yeah. Come hear about the book and then go to the prom. So you gotta go to Dearborn for the library there, the Caroline Kennedy.
Very Carrie like
yes.
there. So
yes, you could come all dressed up, which would be even more magnificent.
Ooh. What time?
Show up in your prom
7
dress?
7 p.m. Yes. Can you imagine? Like what
there's a
crowd
line of people in prom dresses.
Yeah,
that would be.
I get a lot of octogenarians,
proms and witches.
So it'd be,
I mean,
it'd
you
be
know,
welcome
work for Stephen King. So
people who knew Rose.
That's the that's
where
the strange
be on
part
Halloween
about the
day.
Story. I will be drinking heavily and celebrating that the book is out, but no events on Halloween day. So to
if
speak.
You would like to have a venue, you know, Busted is always very welcoming of all things
yes,
women.
Yes, you have always offered.
And we have that extra auxiliary room also that you could do something with. Just let me know.
Okay.
And I would love to put it out there that you're going to be there, because I know I'm going to probably want some of those for Christmas gifts. And
bring a box of books because I will buy one.
Yeah, not that my mom's listening because the name of the podcast.
I was going to say,
she's like, no,
she's like,
no.
Lee, really? Is that what you had to name it?
Did I raise you that way?
But you did. You did.
This is what happens to the baby of the family.
Exactly. Yeah, I used to be the black sheep of the family, but somebody else screwed up a lot harder than I did.
As I always joke, I am the black sheep in my family, and I'm like, what a boring family we have if I'm the bad one.
Yeah, as soon as somebody else got incarcerated, I was like, I'm done!
I just did all the stupid stuff first.
Yeah. You learned? Did you learn to get back up and figure it all out?
Yeah. I felt like I like to quote Jay-Z. I said, I did that, so hopefully you don't have to go through that. That's the conversation I always have with my sister. So,
well, I say that my dad set me up because my nickname when I was a kid was Sweetie Pumpkin. So, and he, I'm the only one that had one. So, of course, my siblings, every time he'd say Sweetie Pumpkin, you could see the hair raise up. Even though my brother doesn't have much hair left, you can still see him go, and whenever he would be, where's my Sweetie Pumpkin? You know, but they were a lot older than I am, so they can get that way. But I do say you set me up because now everybody thinks I'm going to have to be sweet, right? But the guy who lived behind us, we had these huge yards, and the guy who lived behind us, he would call me Dirt Road because we lived on a dirt road.
Oh, okay. I'm like, saying this seems to be going
it
places.
It is the South.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm worried about this neighbor. Yeah. I mean, I'm scared for you.
Oh, no, he was actually.
Turns out he was a serial killer.
whatever. They had a lot of life insurance policies on leave. Mm-hmm.
Whatever mom and his wife would go out shopping, they would actually leave me with Mr. Kite. And Mr. Kite had
he was
a
called Mr. Kite?
Yeah, his name was Mr. That was his name.
Were things done for the benefit
of?
That's
not the first thing. Man. I did not hear kite.
Oh, no,
it
wasn't.
I was like, are you kidding?
I didn't say the word kite. I didn't say
that.
But I used to say that when I spelled my name for people. I say K as in kite. And then I had a few people go, did you just say what I think you just said? I'm like, no, it's K.
Kite.
Oh, my God.
So Mr. Kite taught me how to dive into a swimming pool. And he always wanted to have little girls around because he was very nice.
He liked
not I because of that.
I love that we're making this sinister.
Yeah. Stop it. It's not sinister.
Please, I'm waiting for this not to sound.
No,
just
no. I have an ex-husband who loves little girls in that kind of way, not in a pedophile.
Right.
Kind
he
of
had
way.
Lots of. He had little boys. He's like, every once in a while, we got to balance out all this. All these little boys. Anyway, he taught me how to be tough and how to stick up for myself and how to dive into a pool. And he called me Dirt Road to give me a little bit of oomph, a little toughness, right? Okay. So, the nickname thing. But I have another cousin that I think got set up also with his first nickname because his name was Herbert. The real name was Herbert.
Oh.
And his dad's name was Herbert also. So, he could not say the word twinkle, twinkle, little star. He couldn't say that phrase.
Oh.
He would say squinkle, squinkle.
And so his nickname was Squinkle.
His nickname was Squink.
Squink.
Squink. And he's, a man in his 70s. He's a Vietnam vet. He was in the FBI.
He was
like, my name is Squink, so I am going to have to do some badass shit. Yeah.
So in the military, they started calling him Duke. Right? He was the Duke.
Duke
he became
Squink.
Duke. And he also got his toughness, but I still call him Squink, and he still calls me Sweetie Pumpkin. Do you have any interesting nicknames in the family?
I'm Deacon? Candy Mandy.
Oh, my God! Why?
I'm Candy Mandy because my birth name is Candace. And
beautiful.
So I'm Candy Mandy. But if anybody outside of my family ever calls me Candy Mandy.
Not doing it.
No.
They will not be a friend for long.
Although.
You just told everybody.
Yeah, I did. I don't mind.
You basically
like, hey,
told them how to
be
get
like,
their deaths from you.
That's yes, that's true. The quickest right. way. Quickest way. Quickest way to
and
get on
we'll
my bad side.
And we'll be doing true crime with you.
Behind bars.
The Candy Mandy murders. It will be.
No, we have an interview from prison.
I'll just put your name on the visiting list. I'll just
a reminder. I
told him not to say it. I told him not to say it.
I did.
Plausible deniability. Yeah. Right.
My sister's nickname is George. Uh-huh. And same thing. Like her name's Teresa, uh-huh. but we've never called her that. Like I feel weird when I call her. I'm like, hey Teresa. I'm like, that was weird. She's like, yeah, it was. Don't do that again.
Stop it.
But like anybody outside of the family.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, no, no, you're not.
Absolutely
family,
not.
Do not do that.
I have to say thank you to Tyra Williams-Thompson for joining us on Bras, Bitches, and Balls and Akima Jones. And I have a feeling that you put some stuff out about Bras, Bitches, and Balls, Deka. And thank you very much for doing that. Share us if you can so that people can know some different things that are happening in Detroit. I know that sometimes these shows, you never know what's going to come up next. You just never know. And that's part of the reason why we have that the entry music that says, dude, I didn't know. Because maybe sometimes we don't know what's going to happen.
We never know what's going to happen.
We never know what's going to happen. It's kind of off. It's got to be a lot of fun. But I would love to hear anybody with show ideas. Please let us know. All right, Karen, do you have any nicknames?
Let's see. So, okay, when I was younger in my family, I was Hutka. Which I know is like vaguely probably Polish, but means absolutely nothing.
Okay.
I hope I didn't offend. And I was also Kus. Again, have no idea what that was. Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, there's like a lot of old Polish ladies hearing this.
Oh, they're probably turning off.
Oh my
the radio.
God! No,
can't believe she just said that out loud.
It's not as bad as Dupa, but it's got to be somewhere in between. I was also Kareem for a short time with a coworker because he had met a gas station attendant named Kareem, and it was close enough to my name that it just stuck. I take
like,
any
did you
nickname.
Play basketball?
Yeah.
Right.
I did for half a second. I will take any
yellow
nickname
shades.
I don't like my 70s name, so to speak, because there were Karens all over the world.
Oh, hello,
at that
Lisa.
Point. Right.
Are you named after Lisa Marie Presley? No.
Oh, my God.
No.
My stepmom's
I wasn't even
name
Karen Carpenter. Like, I had no reason to be named it other than my mom was probably just winging it at that yeah. point.
Oh, my parents just couldn't agree on a cool name. So they went to the baby name book and were like, oh.
There's one.
I came from a very small town up north and there were three Lisas in my yep. graduating class.
Wow.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. And my brother and sister both have reasons behind their name. So, yeah, I always was yes. like, I want a cool nickname.
I had no reason.
Yeah.
The other two, yes. Mm-hmm. Long, wonderful stories. You know, your brother's David after King David from the Bible and you're Karen.
Yeah. You're just like, we couldn't figure anything out.
Karen.
Well, I was yes. supposed to be Sarah Irene. And when my mother gave birth to me, I was the first one that she was awake for because when my siblings were born in the 50s, they would knock the women out and just suck the kids out. It was very traumatic for the babies.
Hair was done and their makeup was done.
Yeah. So the women went in with their, I'm going into labor. Somebody do my nails. Yeah. So when I was born, she had to be awake for it. That's why there's no more children after me. So she goes to sleep. She's like, Sarah Irene. Okay, we've agreed on Sarah Irene. Fabulous. And my dad goes to the nurse who's typing up and says, Lee. What? She said Sarah Irene. He's like, I don't really care what she wants. Her name is Lee. Oh. It's L-E-E. When she applies for jobs, no one's going to know if she's a boy or a girl. And that was his mentality in 1969.
Wow.
Yeah. That's part of the reason my daughter is Robin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yep. Yep. So that was it. And mom woke up and she's like, no, it can't be Lee. I don't like that. No. And he was like, too late. Sorry.
It's done. The deal's done.
So that was it. That was me.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That was smart thinking on his part.
Yeah.
That's still an issue now.
It is. Well, he had a sister named John. Her given name was J-O-H-N, John. We call her Dee Dee. And my dad's middle name was Jean, J-E-A-N, like a Whoa. Girl.
Yeah.
My grandmother thought she was being clever.
Grandma.
Yeah. Ahead of her time.
Yes.
So he just went ahead and was like, we're going to name her Lee. Forget about it. We're not having any more kids after that display of uncomfortable birthing.
Oh my God.
Lisa? George.
My sister.
I always
George.
Thought that was her actual name whenever I've met. Hey, George, how you doing?
Yep. Mm. Nope. That's it, really.
That's the big one?
Yeah. Like I said, I never really had a nickname.
I like your dog's nicknames or names. They're actual names.
Oh, well, I have four dogs, and that's way too many. By about.
Is it?
I don't know.
I want more. I have two.
Well, they're like constant toddlers who never
yes.
grow up.
Pretty much,
so
yeah.
like there are days where like last night I went grocery shopping and I was like, I'm craving red meat. So I got like this little sirloin steak. It was like, $3. It's not a big deal. But I'm running in and out, throw the bags on the floor, come back, go back out to the car. And by the time I get back, one Rottweiler is standing over an empty styrofoam package and one beagle is in the corner, hiding because he knows he's in trouble, scarfing down the meat. So I can't.
Okay, so
he
the
knows
beagle
gonna,
took the meat, oh, yeah. and the Rottweiler was like,
"Well,
ooh,
I think
package.
Minnie." There were two little pieces, so I think Minnie may have eaten one of them, and then the other Rottweiler. So we have Minnie, who used to be tiny, but now she's 95 pounds. She was 45 when we got her, so her name is Minnie, Minnie Mouse. Mm-hmm. And then we have another Rottweiler who's just over two, and his name is Andex, for a monastery in Germany that makes some amazing beer, a Doppelbach Dunkel. So his full name when he's in trouble is...
Say that three times.
Andex
that,
Doppelbach right. Dunkel. so he has a full name, but he hardly gets in trouble because he's very sweet. And then the beagles, who are the big troublemakers, they're the ones who need middle names, are Jaeger, who is Hunter in German, but he's afraid of his own shadow, so it's really an ironic name. And Ruger... for the gun, but it's spelled R-U-G-R-R, like, and he, his nickname is Roo because he actually aroos when the other dogs won't play with him. And also his other nickname is Pootie, and I don't know why. Marshall just started calling him Pootie Butt. And so they all have like 16 different nicknames, yes. and they all respond nice. To all of them. But yeah, so Roo was scarfing down. I think he was going to choke on it. He was just trying to swallow the whole thing without chewing because he saw me coming in. He was like, it's like over in the corner and you can see his eyes. He knows he's in trouble, you know.
Yeah. Well, I might as well be hung for sheep and a lamb.
Yeah. So and the crappy thing is I had bought them two big things of treats. And I'm like,
So, you don't like, sound like a parent. Yeah, like, you're not getting any treats tonight. Those are only for good boys.
These treats are mine
good.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I go to see her dogs, she's like, just feed them this little bitty scoop of like 10 kernels in their each. And I have two dogs, one that's only 45 pounds. She's a tiny little thing. One that's 130. They eat the same amount of food.
They do.
Which is crazy. And I give them like big honking cups twice a day of food and then treats all through. So I'm at her house going, oh, I bought you all these bags of treats because Lisa won't let
she's
me gonna feed
make
you.
My, she's going to make my beagles fat because beagles have an obesity problem.
I make them run. I make them run for it. That's good. Nick, nicknames?
My sister calls me Chris because Crispin is a Latin name for people with curly hair because I used to have curly hair.
And I was wondering where that was
and
going.
My family are the kind of people who give Latin-based nicknames. So with that family. My actual name, though, weirdly comes from the fact that my parents have no grasp of Russian history. Because I was born on the 18th of December, and in England we write, 18 and then the month, so 1812. So my parents were like, oh, Russia, 1812 Overture. Except the Tsar at the time was Alexander II, so I should really be an Alex.
Yes.
But they were like, I don't know any Tsars. That was
Tsar
the last
Nicholas.
One. Nicholas! There we go.
Well, you could have been named Rasputin, so.
You know what? Rasputin is, yeah, well, lover of the Russian queen. Oh, those Russians.
So, Jess, one more. Do you have any nicknames?
Family nicknames?
Whatever.
No, but nicknames like Jessica Rabbit, which I got like in a bar that my ex gave me. And then that, because it was in a bar and everybody there was drunk, it went from Jessica Rabbit to J Rabbit to just Rabbit because, drunk people and lots of syllables. That's hard.
I've sold rabbits before in the store, but...
That's funny. That's where your head went. I went to M&M.
You and B M&M, Rabbit. I go to sex toys. Yeah. Okay. So,
nice. I'm familiar with both, and so right. That makes me happy. Like, yes.
You're very cultured.
Yes, yeah. Like, yes, I try. Yep. Yeah, I try.
I have a good grasp of all the rabbits.
Yeah. I thought John Updike, but that's because I'm weird.
I've
thought of the Commitments.
The rabbit book.
So,
oh, I
yes.
love the Commitments.
I love the Commitments.
Really? Yeah. So good.
Y'all are the
so
book,
sweet.
Yeah, the book is great.
Oh, I haven't read that.
Oh, no, yeah. Read the books because the books are far more foul-mouthed and, entertaining than the film. And they make much more sense. And you can read them in an afternoon.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
Awesome. Yeah, the last nickname that I did not let continue because my initials at high school were LAS, and the gentleman that I was dating at the time was nicknamed Earth Dog.
Nice.
People decided I should be Lassie.
Oh, no.
And I was like,
no.
I don't.
What a delightful
like,
Kim Cattrall reference.
I was going to say, and that goes to Porky's.
Right. I was like, I think that's,
no, that's
a,
not
a good idea.
One.
And it's not sweet. No.
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 No. My sisters so still call me that. Sis.
Sis?
We said yes, nice. Yes. So we are all in our 20s, or they're in their 20s. I'm in my 30s, and they still call me sis.
Now, my sister calls me Delilah. Instead of Delilah. Nice. Or she calls me Lisif instead of Joseph.
Lisif?
I don't, yeah. We listened to a lot of Douglas Adams when we were young.
Yes.
Actually, I still do. Whenever I can read a Douglas Adams book or listen to, some of the old stuff from the radio, that makes me happy. Anyway, all right. Deka, what have you got coming up soon?
Well, I'll be at the adult prom next Thursday.
And you can get the adult prom tickets on Eventbrite.
Yes, I've actually included a link in the live video.
Fantastic. Things.
If you look in the comments, you can see a link to the Facebook event, which will take you to the Eventbrite page.
I'm so excited for adult prom. I can't stand it. And there's a cash bar there. And
cash bar.
We've got to bring some food.
Yeah, we can do a potluck.
We haven't been out, or at least I haven't been really partying in a long time. So I think two drinks in, I'd be like, I need some food.
Oh,
So we're going to have to do that. But I like the potato chip idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let us know where all of your events are going to be, Miss Karen.
Yes, I have a Facebook page for the book. So you can look at that, The Witch of Del Rey, as well as my Twitter is Karen Dybus. I put all my events out there. And then next year, I've got a book coming out called Strange Detroit. So there's also a web page or a Facebook page for that as well. If I get my act together, there'll be web pages. But
I think you should come and talk to our Rotary group about your strange Detroit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a ball. That was the summer project. I dragged the kids out with me most mm-hmm. places, and we hit anywhere you can think of in Detroit. I had like a running list and end up having to narrow it down to about 90. This is a crazy town.
Oh my God, the artists do so many wonderful things here.
It's always good to find the strange things in a place. Whenever I'm going to like a new town, I always look up weird or odd or strange, fill in the blank.
Well, we just had that art tour.
We did, yeah.
So what if we did a Strange Things tour when your book comes out?
Stranger Detroit Things, yeah.
Can we put that to show?
Well, okay, fine.
Promote her.
Okay, yes, we can do. Yeah, we can do Strange Things Detroit. That would actually be pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of them are historical, so we'll have to get creative and do a few crazy ones.
Ooh.
Cool.
We can reenact. There can be some reenactments. There are a whole bunch of actors that we can probably talk to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, can you imagine if we reenacted the Witch of Del Rey? Okay, we got to go. Ooh. All right. Thank you so much for tuning in to our podcast one more time. Lisa, have you got any final comments? Where can we find you again?
You can find me at dornburden.com. I don't have exciting stuff, but I have important stuff. So I, you know, usually just reading documents, marking things up, all that kind of fun
and
thing.
And she likes it.
I do. Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to find people who like things you don't like and
absolutely
become very good friends with them.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. All right. Dika, Karen, thank you. Jessica, Nick, Lisa. Woo! I got everybody out. Thank you. All right. We're going to have the Vomit Spots take us out again. I want to tell them thank you. And I'll be coming down to a show to see a live show in Alabama again, down in L.A. Dickie, you should go.
I was going to say, let me know when you're going. I'll take the time
And when
time
I say
off.
L.A., it's Lower Alabama.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yeah, I'm down. Yeah, I'm down for that. Yeah.
Just to make it very clear.
Just so you understand, it's the Redneck Riviera.
I'm okay with that. I'm going to New Orleans in February.
Awesome. So. That's 2 hours from Mobile.
That's okay. I drive. I'm a Detroit girl. I like to drive.
Driving's fun.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Drive that moneymaker.
That's right.
All right. Thank you again. We'll see you guys next Wednesday. Who do we have next Wednesday, Nick? Do you know?
Currently, we're kind of open. So we have, like I said, it will be arranged. It will be announced.
It will be announced.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.